Okay, welcome everybody. I will start by sharing my screen. I have a couple more slides to go over today, and maybe we can look at some data. I have them on the website. I need to upload my recordings that I've been getting behind on doing. But I assume everybody can hear me, and we will jump into some stuff as soon as I share my screen. Share. My is done. Okay, I added this slide to the slide deck. If you remember, this is the sampling head for the 3000, and we have the two elements, the total water content on the top and then the liquid water content. And I assume that most of you probably haven't seen the 2000. I forget all these things because we've been frying this for a while, and we have in here this three elements around this tube, and there is a total water sensor element, and then there's two wires for the liquid. There's the big one like for the king, and then there's a smaller wire on there. So there's two sensing elements, and then there's the compensation element that's along the bottom. So we're wondering if having these wires are exposed to the airflow makes a difference for that fall off that we saw on Tuesday. So I'm trying to get some data from this summer that we can look at. And I don't have it right now for the 2000, but I wanted to plot some of that up. So is there any questions about the difference between the 2000 and the 3000? Christian shakes his head. I can see Christian in the room. So we'll go on, and this is the plot, and I have a few more plots that I added. Remember, we got the wet and dry term, and since we don't have the compensating element, we'll have to calculate the dry term. And we have the equations. We plotted up the data from last time on the first flight. And so to get the solve the whole equations, you need to know the evaporation temperature. So anybody see that? You basically have this temperature here, T of the sensor, and that's for if it's dry. So what's the difference between the sensor temperature and the ambient temperature? So when we have a wet sensor, we need that evaporation temperature. At least that's the way I'm interpreting it. It's the surface temperature on the surface of the element, which would be covered with water. And then you have the ambient temperature. Anybody disagree that that's why we have to have this evaporation temperature of a droplet? And I took it from the manual. They give you a polynomial equation to take the ambient pressure and calculate what that evaporation temperature is. And I believe in the King probe, we are just using a constant for this. I will have to check again. So just a polynomial fit to the data points on this. So I need to code this up. So every one is you figure out the equations, and then you got to write the software to calculate it. And sometimes, should we save all these terms in the files? Because they're good for some diagnostics, but how much of this do you want to save every second when it doesn't change very much? So sometimes I put them into the file that gets created for each of the probes. And sometimes you just have them. It depends if you use it for another calculation. So a lot of times we'll have to get the pressure and do this in a calculation to come up with the dry terms. So I'm not sure. Probably when we have, the problem is with the data levels, the power terms are calculated data level one, but then this would be like a data level two calculation, because you got to combine a couple of different things. So probably have to make a new file with these intermediate parameters and the dry term calculated. And then you would have to take the dry term and calculate it, or not sure how I'm going to write the code yet. The other one is the latent heat term. So this is how much power is dissipated when you're evaporating the water. And so this depends on the evaporation temperature. Lower evaporation temperature, the larger amount of heat to evaporate it. So does this make sense? If you got 100 and the evaporation temperature is higher, it should take a less amount of latent heat, because it's actually higher, the water has more energy.
What's the calories?
Calories. This is what they put it in. This is not the SI unit of joules. So it's how many calories per gram.
Interesting way to say gram.
GM, yeah.
Gram meter.
I think it's just
gram.
Yeah, it should be a gram, right? So I want to Google that.
It should be. I mean, in the equation on the right hand side, you don't have any spatial.
So, yeah. I suppose we shouldn't put the meter in there, huh? I should redo that. That's what they had in the the manual. So I will adjust that probably just per calories. But actually, I should probably convert it to joules. But I'm using their plot. And so you have to convert to joules when you put it into your code. So we should probably do the conversion here. Okay, so I got one thing I just finished up doing. And that is, you know, one of the things we want to keep track of is some sample some comparison numbers. And you guys can check my work. There's the equation for the sample volume of the WCM. So that's, and this kind of came up the other day on Tuesday, you know, is the length of the wire and the diameter of the wires the same? Because you have the sample volume is length times the width, and then you times that by true airspeed. And you can get this sample volume per unit time. So sample volume meters cubed per second, so that when you measure over a second, you just get rid of the seconds or some time interval that you're going over. So link width and true airspeed, and they give the in the C0 data stream. So one of the things that most of the instruments have is they have a line of data that comes out. And I naming them D0, D1, D2, C0. And that's the identifier for the stream. That's the first couple characters in the ASCII stream or line of data. I call it a data stream because it's streaming from the instrument, and they can have multiple ones of these. So they don't necessarily just always send it out. The advantage of doing this as opposed to having multiple parameters is a lot of times they are at different frequencies. So I've been working on some of the code, but I haven't got the D0 stream out, but there's a log file that creates all the output files. So this is given in there. I looked it up. And for the WCM, it's 10.008 millimeters for the width of both of the streams. I forgot to put my units on the second one, but it seems that the diameter that they list is slightly different, 2.48 versus 2.38. And so they are slightly different, and that might be enough. Just wonder if that's enough of why we would have the different elements. So would that make sense to see if the width is slightly less for the LWC? That would mean slightly less power. I'm not sure that that's the that's the answer for why these powers are different, because it seems to be maybe you could look at the percentage difference in terms of the watts. This looks like 0.1 out of 5. It's like 2%. Is that right? 10% would be 0.4. So 2.5%. And here, what is the difference in terms of, oops, back too far. Your difference is 0.01. No, 0.1. Oops. Oh, 0.1.
Like 5%.
Oh, 5. So what is that in? Be less than that, maybe 2%. Might be on the same order of magnitude. I should really calculate the ratios and look at that, because you can do the ratio between the two here. All kinds of things I think about, but it's kind of on the same order of 2%, I think.
Well, according to that, it's what? It's like 5%, 6%.
Is it that much? So maybe that's the reason.
2.39 and 2.44, 5%.
5%. Okay, getting too late in the day for me to do my math. So it might be because the wire is slightly shorter. Yeah, there you go. Take out your calculators or pull up Python and calculate what that ratio is.
It's
2%. 2%. Then we can calculate what this is. So it's like 0.1 divided by 4.5. What's that ratio? Isn't that like 2%? 0.1 divided by 4.5. 0.1. Yeah, because that's the difference between them. Approximately, no. 0.1, because it's from like 4 to 5. I mean, 4.4 to 4.5, that's 0.1. So you got 0.1 over 4.5, well, 2%. So that might be the reason. At least it's consistent. So the last thing I had to talk about was I would go through, and since you're given the equation, you can see if you can check my unit conversions here. We got link, width, and true airspeed to be multiplied together. And it's millimeters times millimeters times a meter per second. So we should get meters cubed per second. And does that work out? Because we have 10.0 and 2. So I think it's a factor of 3 difference. So it's 0.01, and the other one is 0.002. Due to multiplication times, and I'm taking 134 meters per second because remember, that's what we found out to be the average true airspeed of the P3. And so I get 0.003 meters cubed per second. And if you want to say that, you know, you're doing once per second, you can just say that's the meters cubed. And then if you remember way back in the beginning of the lecture, we talked about the sample area of the crowd dropper probe, and it varies, but nominally they say it's 0.24 millimeters squared. So I gotta get that to meters squared, right? And I Googled that at 2.4 times 10 to the minus 7. meters and times that by 134 meters per second. And I get 3.216. I should put times 10 to the minus fifth. I forgot my 10 to the minus fifth there. And so I'm trying to compare that the WCM basically has 100 times more sample area than the CDP. So good order of magnitude that you got 100 times the more, so factor of 10 squared. So your assignment, you should be checking this. Tell me if I'm wrong. Because I just did this. And so does that make sense? Why don't we just increase the Carl Dropper probe sample area? Because we should have a lot more sensitivity with the King, because it's over a bigger area, bigger sample volume. So it should be more accurate because you got higher amounts of sampling. So wouldn't we just increase the sample area of the CDP and we could make the laser a bigger diameter? What would be the problem? Why don't they do that? We want to comment?
I'm not sure.
Christian's not sure. He's in here. Anybody online? Peter, Andrew, Jennifer. Why do we have? Why don't we have?
Why don't we just increase the diameter a little bit?
Well, we could do that too for the Carl Dropper probe, but then you would have to have more heat to supply to the wire.
He says it's fine.
I
think historically they've been not changing a wire because that's what they started with about 40 years ago. But that's going to change the correction efficiency and stuff.
It would change the amount of pins, the holding size points, right?
Well, for the CDP, you're talking. Yeah, you'll get more of them. But what's the difference between the sensor for the hot wire probe and the Carl Dropper probe in terms of the liquid sensor? How many particles are impacted on the sensor at one time? How about for the CDP?
Probably less because you have.
You got a smaller sample volume, so it has to be less. But what happens when you got more than one particle in a laser beam for the CDP? Can you size the particle correctly? No.
You wouldn't test the qualifier.
Yeah. So if you increase the sample volume, you get multiple particles and you have coincidence. So that's a limitation of how big you can make that sample volume, because it needs to count every individual particle. And it's not a limitation on the the optics or in electronics, it's the actual having two particles in that beam at the same time. So you can't increase the CDP sample volume. Do I have that right? It's, yeah, true RSP to get you to other dimension. Yeah, yeah, because it's meters per second. And so the it's meter squared because you got the depth of field in there and the length of the laser, and it's a cylinder. So I didn't give you the whole equations of how you calculate it. So okay, well, that's what I got to today. So I don't know if we should look at data or just let you guys go, because I'm trying to write this code as we go through the class and get everything done, and it takes a long time. So I need more help and train some of my undergraduates for coding. I can put that on there and I can show a couple of things that I've done and stuff, but I want to show you one thing is I've taken out, let's see if I can everybody log in, try to log into our new system. You should be able to, UND, they changed the passwords this week, but I don't know if they're going to change it on aircraft.
They did.
So I wonder
if you're not a UND user, I don't think they can change your password.
Yeah, because I think the
did it automatically. Like as soon as they did an update or something, it'll, unless you did something on your end.
Well, I don't know, because the
2 days ago, I tried typing in my original password, and I typed in deny, and I typed in my new one.
Yeah, because it's authenticating, so I don't know if people that are on, they can go and change their password on the site. Just all right. Well, Peter, Andrew, you might want
to. Yeah, I was able to log in without any issue.
Okay. Well,
I was also able to log in without issues.
Okay. Well, if you have any issues, you might have to go to the North Dakota State website and change your password, because I think at some point they're going to start denying people that don't change their passwords or something. I don't know.
If they're not afraid, they don't have an account with NDSU. You gave them a...
Yeah, we gave you your passwords, right? So I think it's just set, because you can only log into aircraft and it's set locally. Okay. We'll do that. So VNC, let me bring up my VNC viewer. Anybody, you guys, play around with VNC viewer. If I can get mine to open. Oh, yeah. So now. Yeah, no, oh, it failed on mine.
Dave, for the VNC, I had to use my old password, but to get onto aircraft, I have to use the new one.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I'm trying to think of, usually I don't do it, The VNC password is different. That's just set locally. And usually on my other computers, I don't have to type it in, so I forget what it is. But I brought it up here. And I've been processing some data and since I think it's in here. Let's see now. This is better go back to these ones. We have these WCM 2000, 3000s, and it's always a case of do you want to have two codes that you have to maintain for both of these instruments, or can we reuse them? And for a while, we were trying to reuse it, but then we started moving to that they're different enough. And when you don't have the compensator and you don't have the second liquid water, I'm assuming it's different enough. Although when they send in the data files, SCA does not make them different because there's a log file that we can create in our process, and that's basically just what the data streams are that come out with a timestamp on it. So this is our timestamp from seconds from midnight. And then this is the exact data stream that we get from the instrument. And so it's a D0, and then they give you the total water content. And the, let's see, it's the total water content and the, forget, is it current voltage or voltage current? These two are the voltage and current, and this is the temperature. And then this is a liquid water content. And then they give you a blank here because there's the space, the data for the second liquid water and the 2000. So then it's changed their data stream. So it's the second liquid water that they're missing. And here we're missing the compensator. And then they give you zero. So they're giving out data that's, they don't have the parameters, but this way they don't have to change your code. And the manufacturer's not changing what they do. So they don't have to have two different code bases for the 2000 versus the 3000. And then they give you the same thing of voltage, current and temperature for the de-ice. DCE is de-ice. And then you see the data streams here. So this is D0, D2, and C0, D3. And in terms of, Chris has a question.
I just don't know at all. Like, I understand the data streams, but okay, it's D0000200C0D0.
So the D0 is the identifier for the data stream. And so see how they send out a whole bunch of D0s?
Yeah.
And I think what they do is they're not, the one that we really want is a D1, but I think this is before, I don't even know if there's a D1. D1 is where you actually, well, you calculate what the values are.
Over
range? Yeah, at that point, using all the data, this is the real-time calculation of the total in liquid water. And so that's what we've been using is the D1 that comes. But we want to take the D0 string and do our own calculation and recalculate the total liquid water.
So what is that? What hertz is that?
Like, so I think the D1 is 1 hertz.
1 hertz. D0 is like what?
Yeah, because there's 56 and there's 56, 57, 58. And I think the other ones are point. Well, there's. It's faster, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you see a bunch. What do you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's 0.1 hertz. So it's 10 hertz. Sorry, 10 hertz, 0.1 seconds. So that would be the other thing too, is if we calculate it, we could get 10 hertz data. And then we would have to average that up to the 1 hertz.
But wouldn't you just get the same?
Hopefully, but that's assuming we use the same constants and everything. This would allow us then to change them constants if we wanted to. But we should, because I'll put in the constants that they use and see if we can reproduce it. You would think this would be trivial, but it's not always the case that we can come up with the same answers. So
what's the C0? Because you said that was important.
The C0 is the calibration information. So the C0 here is given the length. So this is the length.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the width. And this is another parameter. And then we have it over here for the other one. So, and it's just repeated every time. So that's another thing, like you're sending out this calibration stream. What are they doing in here? It's almost like every second or something.
Well, they do it just enough to have it incorporated in the D1 measure.
Yeah. So I think they send it out every time they send that out, because you could change it, I guess. I don't know how. I mean, I guess you could go in real time and change the parameters on the configuration box. In real time, and then change this. So we can take them strings and go back and calculate what they get in real time. And do it at 10 hertz and then average it up and see if we get the same value of what they get in that D1 stream. And there's a couple other things that are in a D2 and D3. There's some you know, error parameters and the temp, you know, the other parameters that you need to calculate these things. So
pressure, temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are being sent to the unit from the M300. So these can be changed too. So like the airspeed, if you don't send the probe the right airspeed during real time, you know, we can go back and adjust that. And also, I think now on the P3, they've revised their airspeed calculations. So we should go download the archive, the true airspeed that they got as best they have for the project, and run it through the code and use that. So how do you keep track of these things of like, oh, I'm processing WCM data and I'm using the slightly different true airspeed? You know, you don't know, but that shouldn't make much of a difference, but you'll get a different answer out, and maybe someone has some different codes. And so it's very hard to sometimes know exactly what is being processed throughout these whole arguments.
Best way is to track.
Yeah, well, you document in the code. And my philosophy is this, you got to go back and look at the code if you really want to know. because any documentation you write would not necessarily conform to the code in a way. So it's like, see the code, and that's why having a code available is important. Although none of us have looked at that, but. So that's the data streams that are coming out. And so that's how we come up with, when you look at the serial data, we have the definitions serial D1 like this. So the same thing with the ISIN probe. There's an MS for the ISIN probe data. And so what I've done now is in the serial WCM, the D0, before they used to have the second wire, the WCM 021 wire, which was smaller. So it's current and it's voltage, current, and temperature. And I just put in the powers and the de-ice values that I calculate in here. So each one of these codes is going to be different that creates the serial D0 for the 3000 and for the 2000. So all the code is different.
So will this be a level 2 type?
This is still level 1 because I'm taking the data from the instrument and just reformatting it. Although I'm adding in a couple powers and stuff that gets calculated too. So
level 1.5.
Yeah, it's kind of a cheat because that's why I like the log files, because the log files are directly what's coming from the instrument. But I don't want to make too many files either. If I make, you know, 5 files or 6 files for every single instrument or 10, you have so many files. It's complicated in terms of the raw data files. And it's already going to be a lot of data files because you have D0, D1, D2, D3, C0. Then we're going to have then we have corrected values. So maybe for Jen, I changed the corrected WCM raw. This is what we used to have for the file name. I changed it to the 3000 because in the originary we had this to be to include the other wires. And so if you go down and look at the data files, you know, we had these parameters in here that were for the second element and for the, there's no compensator in here, but there's a second element for this. So we're doing that. The other thing so I put that in there, so I took that out, and now we don't have that. The other thing that there is, so there's a WCM total and adjusted. So this is the normal data file that we get from the instrument, and the adjustment is with the baseline outer crowd adjustment that we've been talking about. However, with the liquid water, there's an adjustment and there's an additional correction term. So it's an adjusted term that's also corrected, and it's supposed to be for the fact of the impact of ice on the liquid water measurement. And that's what I'm trying to figure out, if that correction is the same for the 2000 as it is for the 3000. But I started putting that in the output file so we can compare the adjusted out of crowd values to this corrected one and see how much difference there are, and try to find the how that's done, because Lyle Wary at SEA, he's done this, and supposedly they did a poster or something at a conference or some proceedings at a conference where this is discussed, but there's no paper and stuff on it. So another thing, Jen, to write in your paper is, you know, how we do this correction for the liquid water based on having ice in there. You know, ice particles affect liquid water measurement to some extent. So I put that's in there, and so I added that to the corrections. And then the other thing I did was I want to compare, so I changed the impacts file. To have both the liquid water adjusted and calculated using the efficiency. And there's the equation that Lyle gives, but it's a fit equation, and I haven't seen the actual data. So I want to grab his poster or something. So I emailed and seen if I can get that. To know how they're actually doing this correction. So lots of things in there yet to figure out for the 3000 and how that compares to this, and also to see how this stuff is. So we got lots of stuff that we can look at to figure this out. It's like a new computer model, seeing how this performs versus the other one. So we need to know and document how the processing is, all the equations, all the software, and then do the comparisons, and hopefully then make some plot and come up with the best answer and a overall uncertainty of how well we think this is doing. But I'm concerned when I see that fall off, that doesn't go to zero right away after being out of crowds. So how do we, you know, compare that to the Zora probe?
I think the first thing to look at the 2000.
Yep. I'm getting the data for the 2000, and I want to look at that, but I need to get some data that I can, they did some private company flights, and I don't know if there's restrictions on publishing some of the data. So I want to make sure I have something I can publish and use. And then we will also fly it. So maybe Michael, if we do Saudi Arabia, we'll put the, should I try to get the 3000, the 2000, and the Zorov, the King, and the CDP on the same airplane? See if I can get the 3000 and 2000. I don't know if there's another spot. That's the problem, is to, you know, a lot of work to add these to the aircraft. So I'll be happy to have the 2000 and the Nazarov, but then what's the difference between the 2000 and the 3000? Although maybe we could switch out the sampling heads. I should ask SEA, can we just switch out the sampling heads between the 2000 and 3000? But I think that they look like the same shape. And I think everything else is the same. It's just that The head is different.
So the wiring might be different based on the extra wire.
Yeah, I think they might have kept that the same. I'll have to email them and see.
Or they just removed it entirely.
Yeah, but if it's... if it fits in the same hole and everything... And the wiring's the same, it might be good to just be able to switch it out, I think.
They designed it that way.
I'll have to ask. Okay, any questions? I just went over some data stuff. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get this stuff done and I got sidetracked on some other projects this morning.
I just process. I think I have one more point left for the CPI data, CPI images.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to get all this WCM and ice and probe stuff processed here. But it's going to be a lot of work to write out this new code too. And then calculate these up because we got to calculate the actual values. And for another project, we're working on calculating the values for the 2000s. So we can do a lot of comparisons. Okay, no one's having any questions. I'll stop sharing. Let you guys go. Should I stop recording? Where did I stop recording? Stop recording.